I'll ask that you remain standing for our scripture lesson for the sermon. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 10 through 20, the Word of the Living God, our lesson for this day. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he also does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Thus far the reading of God's Word, and all of God's people said. Amen. Heavenly Father, open our eyes and bore out our ears so that we may see and hear wonderful things from your Word. We ask this because we are your servants and we long to bear your name honorably. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. Loneliness. Loneliness is frightful, desperate, and hellish. Loneliness is frightful, desperate, and hellish. The fear or the fright of loneliness is that there would be no way out, that it will continue, that it may never end. The desperation of loneliness is that the lonely cry is out there, or the lonely cry out, and there is no one to hear. And then that desperation intensifies. What if they could hear me and then acted as if they did not hear me? Do they not want to hear? Loneliness is frightful. Loneliness is desperate, and loneliness is also hellish. Hellish. The hellishness of loneliness is that it is devoid of community. It could be a chosen loneliness or an enforced loneliness, but there's a solitariness, and this hellishness is essentially anti-Trinitarian, non-Trinitarian, non-communal. The Christian community is to be just that, Christian and a community. We are different, and we're supposed to be different, but with many things in common. And what we have chiefly in common is just that, commonality, community. What do we have in common? The communion of the saints. Creedally, we profess this in the Apostles' Creed, that we believe in the communion of the saints. We do not just have communion, we are the communion of the saints. We are, to use Paul's language elsewhere in the book of Romans, we are members of one another. We are a body, complete with different parts, different functions, each function necessary for the operation of the whole, each dependent upon all for the operation. We are of the Trinity. We belong to the one true God who was and is and shall be in communion and in fellowship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Years ago, there was a silly poster I once read in a particular store, and it said, "Why did God make you both? Because he was lacking something, and he needed someone to love." There was eternal love within the Trinity. And yes, God created out of love, and he places his love upon us. But we are of the Trinity. We are made in the image of this God, all of us and each of us. And we know, you know, that there is something wrong when we do not have communion, fellowship, or connectedness. Sadly, often we point to the sins of others as to why we don't have fellowship and communion and connectedness. It's because of them, or because of that group, or because of those people sitting somewhere nearby. The Lord, according to Psalm 68, is the one who places the solitary in families. He recognizes the solitary and says, "I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you into a family." He cares, the Lord cares for the orphan and the widow and expects us to do the same. When God saves us, he saves us and places us into his family, and he calls this the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. I love the way that Pastor Steve Wilkins phrased this in his book Face to Face. He wrote, "God in his mercy does not save us in isolation from other people, but rather in community with other people." So let's face it. When we find someone who is a loner and who proclaims that it is good, better, or best to be a loner, we should be a tad uncomfortable around such a person. Something doesn't quite fit. We're not used to thinking of it in terms of the Trinity, but we should. We find it odd that someone wants to go it alone, not have many friends. And so we have questions. Here are some of them. Who knows this person? Who loves this person? Whom do you love, dear person? Who calls you to account? Who asks questions of you? Who encourages you, challenges you, eats with you, bothers you? Who bothers you? Who is it who gets known by you? Dickens presented the character Ebenezer Scrooge right at the beginning of A Christmas Carol as a rude, selfish, uncaring for others. He was uncaring for others, covetous man, and described his loneliness this way: as solitary as an oyster. He's got his place. And of course, his name, Stone of Hope, Ebenezer, the stone, there was hope for the stone, and by the end of the book, there's community, and he's involved in society. Usually, loneliness is fought against. Rarely does someone just comply and embrace it. Loneliness is contrary to our being crafted in the image of God. Now, we live in a day where we've got a lot of things facing us. We face a lot of things as those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ as disciples. And we have been concerned over the redefinition or the gutting of biblical marriage. We have been concerned over this. And so a lot of times we'll want to get out and have a point-counterpoint debate with people who may be pursuing what they're calling same-sex marriage. I want us to think about something. Just back up for a moment. And this would happen if you ever looked any of these folks in the eyes, made in the image of God. Made in the image of God, they are. And let's just ask this. Perhaps part of the motivation for same-sex relationships and same-sex marriage, not to defend that, but to understand. Perhaps part of the motivation for same-sex relationships is because of this reality of being made in the image of God, and that people do not want to live alone, be sick alone, or to die alone. That ought to communicate to the church, the community of the saints who believe in the communion of the saints. And think, you know what? We know the Lord who places the solitary in families. All of a sudden, we begin to deal with people made according to the image of God, and we begin to see a glorious gospel. I get the concern with loneliness. I recall my widowed mother had a difficult time preparing a meal for one. I recently spoke with an elderly saint who, with tears streaming down her cheeks, said, "I don't like this place. My plants are gone. I just want to die." Today, our passage, a simple walk through this passage as we come to the end of 1 Corinthians, this epistle. Today, our passage displays some of the depth and the distance of Christian community. Christian community is not defined by geographical boundaries or political affiliation. Christian community is not defined by skin color, heritage, culture, or diet. Christian community is defined by our Lord's grace in claiming us, placing us, the solitary, in families. That's part of the beauty of adoption. Modeled by our Lord, modeled by the saints of old, placing the solitary in families, blessing them with hearth and home. And our passage here at the end of 1 Corinthians will show the fellowship and the friendship and the affection which should be present in and among Christians. And I know it's not present perfectly. So Paul is still facing the difficulties in Ephesus, and he's getting ready to come back and face other difficulties in Corinth, but now he wants to speak of fellowship and friendship. So let's take a quick walk through this passage and be instructed by it. Paul does not hesitate in this passage to drop a number of names. Plop, 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 just dropping and plopping names all over the place. Specific names that are mentioned. Timothy is mentioned. He's going to drop the name of Timothy. Apollos is mentioned. Just dropped. Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. Aquila and Priscilla mentioned specifically. And then general categories. The household of Stephanus. The churches of Asia. The brethren. General. What's he trying to say? Corinth, the saints are connected. You're fighting your battles. You're worried about meat sacrificed to an idol out there in the workplace, in the marketplace. You're dealing with this. You're dealing with sexual liberties. You're dealing with marital squabbles. You're dealing with court battles, people suing one another. I want you to know something. You're not alone. Christians are connected. The saints are connected. You and them, they and you. And Paul interacts with a number of saints all over the place. And you know what he's doing? He's keeping them in touch. I'm going to drop some names here because I want you to know that you're connected. The church is Catholic. The church is universal. It's the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and He does not leave Himself without witness. So this chapter, by the way, began with what? Paul taking a collection from the church in Corinth to do what? To bridge in many things, not just to help the saints in Jerusalem, who are going persecution and famine, but to bridge the gap between Jews and Gentiles. These are people you probably would have never, apart from Christ, you would have never crossed the road for. Some of you would have thought, no, I'm not going to soil my hands by being with them. No, I'm going to stay away from them. Many of these people you would have never eaten with. And then somebody defends themselves and says, you know what, it's because they got a weird diet and they don't want to eat with me. Oh. I don't like the way they dress. Paul is bridging the gap between Jews and Gentiles. And yes, that's a race issue. That's a race issue. Okay, this fellowship and friendship, and by the way, I'll just touch on affection later, very, very small, because you're all wondering about the holy kiss. You think, oh, we're going to start doing that. You're all wondering about that. We'll talk about that, Lord willing, next week. So, fellowship and friendship. I want you to see how Paul presents this. He first of all speaks of likely visitors. Remember, we're reading their mail. He's writing to the church in Corinth. He says, by the way, there's some people that are likely going to come visit you, Timothy and Apollos. You don't know Timothy, but you do know Apollos. They want to come and visit you. Okay? Paul does not hesitate to give some encouragement as to how to encourage Timothy. You know what? If he comes, may he be with you without fear. He does the work of the Lord just like I do. Don't let anybody despise him. Encourage him. By the way, you should all know this. Not all ministers are wired the same. Ministers are a curious, you could say, odd lot. And so there's one minister who seems to be running into brick walls. And other ministers aren't that way. And godly, gracious congregations understand that. So when a visiting minister is here, we are gracious and we understand that. Paul is gracing the Corinthian congregation. By the way, when Timothy shows up, encourage him. Now, some people have said, what's going on? Why did he even need to say that? Some people say, Timothy was timid. We don't know that. Some people say, well, it's because Timothy was young. We do know that somewhat more. And maybe it is because he was young, and there's nothing wrong with an older minister saying, you know, come alongside this young guy and, you know, encourage him. It could be also because he was Paul's friend. Remember, some people in Corinth still had an issue with Paul. Paul saying, let's get over that, encourage this guy. He does the work of the Lord. All right. By the way, let me just ask you a question. Paul says in verse 11, let no one despise him. Is that possible in the body of Christ? Is that possible under the name of the communion of the saints and fellowship and friendship that some in the church would actually despise another servant of the Lord? How many solas do we need? Is it possible? Why did Paul have to say that? Why did Paul have to write that we actually get to the point where we'd say, Imagine who was rebuked by that. If Paul writes, and this is being read publicly, let no one despise Timothy, and the person that's got this pulse beat of despising, they're immediately just hammered on that. I'm ashamed. Yes, I have done that. Apollos, verse 12, now concerning our... he's mentioning here there's going to be some visitors coming to see you in Corinth. You're in Corinth. I'm writing you this letter. Timothy wants to visit. Apollos wants to visit. You know Apollos. He's our brother, fellow laborer. I planted. He waters. Great. These are likely visitors. Next, what's going to happen next? I want you to take note. You're talking about fellowship? Sometimes it's easy to spruce up the house because there's a visitor coming. Oh, you know what? We should have taken the trash out last week. We've got to clean this up. Visitors are coming. But Paul wants them to also know, you know what? I want you to show fellowship and friendship among you, right where you are. Take note of the household of Stephanas. Take note of the household of Stephanas. I urge you. And then he stops. Look at verse 15. I urge you, brethren, and he stops. You know the household of Stephanas? You know them. They were likely the very first converts in the Corinthian church. He calls them the, what is this language here? The first fruits of Achaia. They were the beginning of the harvest. There were more to come. They were right at the beginning. First fruits of the harvest. The household of Stephanas. Larger harvest to come. I urge you, by the way, you know the household of Stephanas? First fruits of Achaia, that they, how are they described? In this translation that I read today, I'm reading from the New King James Version, says that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I love the way that the King James Version phrases it, and I'm going to read it to you. They have addicted themselves to this. You know, that's what Paul says. And by the way, we live in a day where there's an addiction. People are addicted to addictions. Addictions all over the place. But we have an idea of what the idea of it. We have an idea of what an addiction is. Paul says, take note of the household of Stephanas. They were the first fruits there at the church. They were the beginning. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addiction? What other words come to mind? Here's one. If you're an addict, you must. Sometimes it's a shaky must. You'll put it in the negative. I can't help it. Positive, I must. First thought upon waking. Wake up in the morning. Think about throughout the day. And then even at night, that's what they're thinking. They lay in bed and they're just chomping. Gotta have it, gotta do it, gotta. The addiction is their identity. The addiction is the shape of their life. The addiction. Sends money. The addiction spends money. The addiction spends time and consumes time. The addiction defines associations. Because of this addiction, I'm going to hang out with these people because they're going to. But Paul says, you know what? They've been addicted to the ministry there. What was the nature of their ministry? They were those who ministered to others who served. The household of Stephanas, they would look at somebody, those people are serving, how can we serve them? Matthew Henry said it well. It's not that the household of Stephanas is that they're into the ministry of the word properly, but they were serving them in other respects. What can I do so that they can do what they need to do? This is part of the beauty of the household of Stephanas in their addiction to the ministry. Were they doing big things? Little things? Yes. Were they doing public things or private things? Yes. Quiet, faithful, beautiful, reliable, tenacious. And you don't find the household of Stephanas saying, pick me, pick me, pick me, note me, note. No, because Paul's doing it. Take note of them. I urge you, brethren, and then he stops, take note of the household of Stephanas, look what they've done. This is what I'm going to urge you to do at the end of verse 16, that you submit to them, submit to such. You know what that means? Encourage them in their work of encouragement. Minister to them as they're busy ministering to other people. And by the way, we have been blessed with people that do. There are so many people here, small church, growing church. We're seeing it more and more. There are people that are doing so many things, and I happily say, many of them I don't know. I sometimes see them after the fact. It's beautiful. It's the way it ought to be. I want you to submit to them and to everyone who, and what does Paul say? To everyone who works and labors with us. Paul is in Ephesus, and the household of Stephanas is there in Corinth, and you know what Paul says? We're laboring together, they're there with you, and I'm here. And by the way, I want to say something else about people like the household of Stephanas. These are the types of people who see that not everything is just right in the church. That's why the Lord appointed servants and people to minister to one another. They're not chomping, they're not grinding their teeth and digging their nails into the furniture because they're saying, you know what, things just aren't happening right around here. Somebody's got to do it. They know it. They'll jump in and they'll serve and they'll help and they'll encourage to bring it more in line with the kindness of Christ, the service of the Lord. It's people like this that bring flesh and blood and presence to, in, and among the church. You know, they're bringing flesh and blood and presence. Not like the bow. Here, nicely wrapped. That's nice too. But their flesh, their blood, and they're present. They're there. How can I help you? Got it taken care of today. All right. Just wanted you to know. All right. What have we seen so far? Here, number one, there are some people that want to come and visit. Timothy and Apollos, they want to come and visit you. There are also some who are among you. They live there. Next, part of the fellowship and the friendship of the community of the body of Christ, there are some people that go visit other people. Take a look at verse 17. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied. Verse 18, for they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore take note of such men. Wow. Let me get this straight. Some people want to go and visit the church in Corinth. There are people present in the church of Corinth, and there are people who go from the church of Corinth to encourage Paul, because yes, it's possible for Paul to grow weary in well-doing. Paul is in Ephesus. He's facing all kinds of battles. And what does the Corinthian church do? Stephanas? Fortunatus? Achaicus? Interested? Yeah. And we don't know exactly what they did, but they went and visited Paul. They took a road trip. They refreshed my spirit and yours. That's interesting. By the way, we saw a little bit of this recently visiting a fellow minister in St. Pete. How encouraged was Pastor Volkov? People actually came and visited him. Face to face. Had a meal. We're introduced to unique foods. Huh? That's good. Green drinks. Like some kind of green soda. I don't know what it was. I have a picture of it. Friendship. Fellowship. People went and spent time. Yeah, and the church was small. They're the body of Christ. There are brothers and sisters. And it's interesting, the Apostle Paul here says, you know what they did? They refreshed my spirit. It's an interesting Greek word. It's like anapao. It means, apao means to pause. Pao, where we get the word to pause. I needed to rest, to pause. And it was an intensified pause. It was such a great, I'm going to use the word refreshment. They came, I paused, I spent some time with them, and they didn't just refresh my spirit. You know what they did? They refreshed your spirit. Because you know why? They were your hands, and your feet, and your face. You showed up through them. It was a tremendous refreshment. It was wonderful. These men, Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, didn't just talk about loving Paul. They acted it out. This is what one commentator says, these are the places where love wears skin and flesh. Yeah, and it was a sacrifice. Sacrifice of time and of money, of comfort, of the familiar. So here's the summary so far. All right. Okay. Some were planning on visiting Corinth. What does the fellowship of the body of Christ look like? Sometimes people come and visit. Other times there's just something going on right here. Just keep doing that. Other times, people from here will go somewhere else and encourage others. others fellows in the fellowship. These are all expressions of fellowship and friendship in the body of Christ. But there's something else. Others, there are also other greetings from people that will likely never come and visit. People who will, because they're never going to come and visit, they're never going to be able to serve in your midst. People that you're likely never going to go and see. And the communion of the saints and the Christian community includes even them. And so Paul mentions, you know what? Aquila and Priscilla greet you. Oh, and all the churches in Asia. All the churches in Asia. They greet you. Well, you know, their names. Oh, but you're connected in Christ. Oh, and by the way, the church that meets in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. They greet you. Oh, and all the brethren who are serving with me, they greet you. And Paul has no hesitation to say, you know what, you're all connected. And it's wonderful. So there's just a snapshot into the fellowship and the friendship of the body of Christ. Those are the greetings. Some hope to visit. There are some you should recognize among you. Recognize them, respect them, honor them, and encourage them. There are some who came to visit me, Paul says, and there are some likely you'll never meet face to face this side of future eternity. You'll meet them someday. Oh, and by the way, there's something more. Verse 20, I've been dealing with friendship and fellowship. I'd like you to do something else. I'd like you to greet one another. I'd like you to greet one another. It's not just that I want to talk about this and I want to say Timothy wants to come and visit you and Apollos wants to come and visit you. Oh, and thank God for the household of Stephanas among you. It's not just that. It's not just that these three representatives came and visited me and that all of these churches here want to say, hi, greetings. I want you to greet one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's what Paul says. I'm just starting on this whole affection bit portion of the sermon now, but I'm going to conclude the sermon, and you're going to be leaning into this. Do I have to kiss? Do I get to kiss? Do I have to be kissed? We're wondering about all of that. This is curious. Yes, it is. That's probably the first thing. I'm just going to make a few comments. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn my page so I can stick to this. Okay, here we are. Let's not miss all of this. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to greet one another. I'm going to tell you, one of the most desperate lonelinesses that can be present in the body of Christ is if you're out of fellowship with someone, you feel that loneliness. You know what? One of the ways you can get over that? Humble yourself and go greet someone. How many times have we been instructed, I've got an issue with someone. Have you been praying for that person? And don't just pray, God, change them. Start with me. How about if you just went up and greeted someone? I'm going to start by greeting you. Greet each other. And by the way, you do that very well. Love it. Keep it up. Affection is to be observable. It ought to be evident. Affection, and you're thinking, oh, is he going to go to the kiss? Can't we just do a handshake? Can we do a fist bump? Can't we do the high elbow? Can't we shoulder? Can't we just nod? Can't we point like, hey, buckaroo? Can't we just do any of those types of things? We're all getting... Whatever we're going to do with this, we want to obey Scripture, right? We want to obey Scripture. Our greetings and our affection ought to be evident. It ought to be evident. Number two, whatever this holy kiss was, and is, it's an obvious rebuke to the taking of sides. It's an obvious rebuke to the taking of sides. Greet one another. No, I'm of Apollos. Greet one another. I'm of Paul. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I don't want to get that close. You're in the communion of the saints. You have this in common. You have fellowship with one another. You are members of one another. Ooh. Whatever this holy kiss was or is, it's a rebuke to their taking of sides. Number three, if this makes you uncomfortable, please note this is not just the only place that Paul has mentioned this. Paul mentions it four times in the New Testament, and Simon Peter mentions something very similar once. Five references to a holy kiss. Okay, I'll stop right there, and I'm going to end with this. We're connected with one another, and it's wondrously refreshing, and this is demonstrated through its absence. Take it away, have it put on ice for a while, and a desperate, sinking, stinking loneliness will creep in. Oh, I've got a warning. We need to be careful. Sometimes we may be amening all of this and may go, yes, that's right. There needs to be more of that. And what we end up doing is condemning it instead of pursuing it. It's so easy to sit back and to take one arm and then the other arm and to go, yeah, right. We need to pursue this. We know we're not perfect. But we need to continue to pursue this. We've got to be careful about seeing something, and because we see something or recognizing it, thinking then that we've arrived. No, that means we need to get about it. So, good words from the Lord's Word. This is good news because this is who we are. We believe in the communion of the saints. We are people in fellowship with the Lord and with all those whom the Lord has chosen. We have a fellowship and a friendship and an affection that ought to be evident. May the Lord continue to grow us in this. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us pray. O Lord, we trust you to continue to grow us and to shape us into the image of your Son according to your promise, according to your provision. Beautify this, your congregation. Grant us great joy as we follow you. I pray all of this, trusting in you, and I pray it in the name, in the strong name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen.